Dr. William Luther Pierce, 1997. The Clinton White House.
Hello. I've just finished reading a book called Unlimited Access. It's by an FBI agent, Gary Aldrich, who worked in the Clinton White House. His job was to do background investigations on White House staff members. He'd done the same job earlier during the Bush administration and found the work congenial. But he discovered that working in the Clinton White House was an altogether different matter. He was shocked by the character and behavior of the people he was obliged to work with. And finally, in June 1995, he quit in disgust, taking early retirement from the FBI. And now he's written a book about his observations during the first Clinton administration. There's nothing really startling in Aldrich's book. It's primarily a confirmation of what we've learned from other sources. The Clintonistas are substantially a product of the 1960s. They tend to be slovenly, self-indulgent, egoistic, smart-alecky, ill-mannered, pushy, disrespectful, and very politically correct. The women tend to be hard-case feminists. There are many homosexuals among the men. The incidence of illegal drug usage is phenomenal, and all of them are inclined to believe that they have the world by the balls, pardon my expression, and can get away with anything they want. They are very contemptuous of conservative, conventional people like Aldrich, and this fact irritated him enormously. Now, I must admit that I myself don't have a lot of rapport with the average FBI agent. They are a bit too authoritarian and a bit too unimaginative for my taste. And when I'm talking with one of them, no matter how polite he is, I never can get out of my mind the knowledge that he is one of the enemy's soldiers. Regardless of his personal beliefs and tastes, he is taking orders and his paychecks from the most evil and destructive organization which has ever existed on this earth, namely the present U.S. government. Nevertheless, if I had to choose between FBI agents like Aldrich and the White House staffers he was assigned to investigate, I'd choose Aldrich in a second. He's not really a bad person. He just happened to be working for the wrong people. Some of Aldrich's observations in the Clinton White House are more interesting than others. For example, the FBI agents there learned not to be surprised or shocked when they occasionally encountered homosexual staff members going at it in White House offices or showers. And Aldrich's observations of Hillary's autocratic behavior, her loud and vulgar language, and her screaming fits directed at those who displeased her, including her husband, are consistent with the reports of other observers. Aldrich tells of being asked to help decorate some of the Christmas trees in the various rooms of the White House in December 1994, and being horrified when he discovered that the Christmas tree decorations supplied by Hillary consisted of condoms, various miniature items of drug paraphernalia, and little sex toys. The White House staffers described in Unlimited Access are former student radicals. They are the people who back in the 1970s used to organize loud and rowdy campus demonstrations demanding that some professor or other be fired whom they considered to be a racist or a fascist. They used to occupy the dean's office and trash the place in order to get their way, defecating on the dean's desk and urinating in his files. Now they've graduated, gone on to law school and gotten law degrees, and joined the system they used to demonstrate against. But their manners, their morals, and their ideas haven't changed a bit. This fact hit Aldrich with a jolt when a fellow FBI agent said to him, Don't you recognize these people, Gary? They're the people we used to arrest. And now the FBI is working for them. Ain't democracy grand? One section of Aldrich's book really struck me. He recalls his early days in the FBI, and in particular the time in the fall of 1969, when he was assigned to dress like a student radical and mingle with a crowd of nearly 500,000 pro-Viet Cong demonstrators at a march in Washington. He was supposed to keep his eyes and ears open, and if he learned anything about the plans of the demonstrators to do anything especially dangerous, he was to report back to FBI headquarters. The interesting thing to me is that I also was present as an observer in that 1969 demonstration in Washington. I had mingled with a mob of about 5,000 demonstrators who had split off from the main demonstration and converged on the building housing the Department of Justice. I watched as the demonstrators smashed out nearly every window in the ground floor of the building and then began using long poles to poke out the second floor windows. There were soldiers with machine guns on the roof and in the halls behind the doors, which had been chained shut. But they made no attempt to interfere with the demonstrators who were smashing the windows. Several hundred policemen had barricaded Constitution Avenue in an attempt to keep the mob contained, and the demonstrators began throwing Coke bottles with lighted firecrackers in them, sort of primitive fragmentation grenades, into the ranks of the police. Eventually, the police responded with a moving barrage of tear gas grenades, and the mob stampeded. I was in the middle of that mob, surrounded on every side by tightly packed demonstrators, and as my lungs filled with the burning, choking tear gas, I thought I would die. Within a few seconds, however, the mob began running west along Constitution Avenue, and I ran with them, moving my legs as fast as I could and worrying that if I stumbled, I would be trampled to death. Eventually, I reached the 12th Street underpass and ran into the tunnel, where I gradually recovered from the tear gas. A few months after that experience, I organized the National Youth Alliance, which evolved into the National Alliance. Aldrich doesn't say whether or not he also got a dose of tear gas that day, but he concludes his comments on that episode with the following, and I quote, "Earlier that day, in another time zone, 500 protesters from Oxford University, led by William Jefferson Blythe Clinton, marched on the American Embassy. Many carried little red books by Chairman Mao and Viet Cong flags shouting, 'Down with the United States' and 'Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh.' It was a coordinated effort set up by the Vietnam Moratorium Committee, or VMC, an organization run by Sam Brown, a good friend of Bill Clinton. On this side of the Atlantic, I stood at a police barricade and hoped the officers would be able to return safely to their wives and children that night. On the other side of the Atlantic, the future President of the United States was leading a march against his own country's embassy." End of quote. Overall, the really interesting thing about Aldrich's book is its illustration of the great divide between the Clinton crowd, the Clintonistas, and traditional white America. Aldrich is a reasonably typical specimen of traditional white America, basically a decent fellow who believes in politeness, honesty, obeying the law, saluting the flag, opening doors for women, and going to church on Sunday, but who never quite figured out what has happened to America during the past 50 years and who made it happen. A great many other people besides Gary Aldrich are in a similar situation, and it's not just retired FBI agents. In some cases, it's people who end up in gunfights with folks like Gary Aldrich. people like those in some of the many little outfits that have declared themselves out of the system during the past 4 or 5 years. Outfits like the Montana Freeman or the Republic of Texas. Have you noticed the explosion in the number of such outfits recently? 5 years ago, you never heard about them. Now there's one in the headlines every few weeks. And these people you read about in the newspapers really are only the tip of the iceberg. Most of the people on Gary Aldrich's side of the divide are law-abiding people. They don't want to be involved in a shootout or get in the newspapers like the Montana Freeman. But make no mistake about it, they are not happy about things. Many of them are quite angry. Some of them are almost angry enough to start shooting. The rest are getting there. The Clintonistas don't really understand that. But they will. They will. You know, I said that the Clintonistas are creatures of the 1960s. But there's more than just a difference in lifestyle between them and us. The difference is more than just that they like to smoke marijuana and don't see anything wrong with two men having a sexual relationship, while we don't approve of those things. The divide that I mentioned a minute ago is a very profound divide. It splits white America. It splits all of America into two camps that are moving further and further apart. These two camps aren't homogeneous by any means. And I think nearly all of you who are listening are in one camp, along with Gary Aldrich. And I know that we're a pretty diverse bunch. There are a lot of things that Gary Aldrich and I would disagree about. But we do agree on some things, some pretty fundamental things. Things like discipline and individual responsibility. On the other side are the urban rabble and the yuppies. They're not homogeneous either, but they do have some things in common. They all look to the government to guarantee them the things they believe they're entitled to, which are many. And they all have trouble with the concept of individual responsibility. Entitlements they understand, but not responsibility. So we have a president who gave aid and comfort to the enemies of his country during the Vietnam War, and who runs around with cocaine dealers. Their attitude is, who cares? Just keep those special government programs going. And there's more. The people in the Clinton constituency are missing something really important. Their orientation is basically materialistic, hedonistic, egoistic. They have no spiritual dimension. They have no roots, no sense of purpose, no feeling of being a part of something more important than themselves. I don't mean to imply that there's no materialism or egoism or hedonism on our side of the divide. There is. There's just a lot more of it on their side. And they don't realize that. And if they did, they wouldn't consider it important, because none of the people they meet at cocktail parties in Washington or New York or Hollywood consider it important. They live in a self-contained world of their own, and there's not much communication between their world and ours. These people believe that they are the wave of the future. Everything they see in the media controlled by their Jewish friends convinces them of that. They believe that they are a lot smarter than all of us folks out beyond the Beltway who don't like them. They figure that with the media bosses on their side, and with the government programs to keep the rabble voting for them, and with their pollsters to keep them informed about what people are thinking, they've got everything under control. They figure that we can dislike them as much as we want, because there's nothing we can do about the situation. What does it matter to them if a few stodgy conservative FBI agents disapprove of them? They have one of their types in as FBI director now in the person of Louis Free. And most of the newer agents being hired look at things the way they do and will be loyal Clintonistas. They even believe that most of us slow learners out here in the suburbs eventually will wake up and understand that there's nothing to be gained by being against progress. They just don't get it. They don't understand why we dislike them and why we will never acquiesce in their takeover of the government. They think it's because we're stupid or backward. And let's face it, a lot of the people on our side of the divide are a little stupid or a little backward. That's why some of us do dumb things, like declaring ourselves an independent republic or deciding that the Constitution allows us to print our own money. That's why many of us, like Gary Aldrich, haven't figured out yet that there's much more to America's current sickness than the gang now in the White House. But you know, more and more of us are figuring that out. We are understanding that Bill Clinton is not just an isolated phenomenon, but that he is a symptom of a rot which has permeated our government, our schools, our churches, our media, indeed, our whole society. The Jews could never have gotten away with their counterculture organizing on our university campuses back in the 1960s if they had not already rotted out the soul of our university system with their liberal poison first. They could never have gotten 500,000 students and other young people to Washington for a pro-Viet Cong demonstration in 1969 at the height of the Vietnam War if they had not already sapped the integrity of our government. Gary Aldrich and I both saw what happened in Washington during that demonstration. We both saw the government's failure to deal with the situation properly, but we drew quite different conclusions from our observations. Perhaps Gary Aldrich drew no conclusion at all, because he stayed with the FBI and was surprised when things turned out the way they did 23 years later. I did draw some conclusions, and I founded the National Youth Alliance, and I was not surprised that the White House eventually ended up in the hands of the Clinton gang. Back in 1969, I saw us headed this way. Today, more and more people also are beginning to draw conclusions. They are realizing that having a White House full of cokeheads and dykes and former Viet Cong supporters is not just a fluke. They are realizing that it is the culmination of a long process of decay and subversion. They are realizing that it is something which they cannot continue to ignore, that it puts them and their children and their grandchildren in great jeopardy, and that they must take a stand against it. Although Gary Aldrich doesn't say so in his book, I wouldn't be surprised if he is beginning to realize this too. I hope he is. And I hope that a lot of the other people still in the FBI are realizing it too. One thing that they may not realize, that they may not have understood, is the spiritual aspect of what has happened to America. I've already mentioned this briefly, but I'll say it again because it's important. Before the Jews could turn America's university campuses upside down back in the 1960s, they had to prepare the universities spiritually. That meant replacing our spirit at the universities with their spirit. It meant decades of undermining our traditions and of changing our way of looking at the world and at ourselves to their way. It meant replacing our feeling for quality with the worship of equality and democracy. It meant subverting our pride of race and changing it into a sense of guilt. It meant replacing our sense of order and discipline and responsibility with hedonism. It meant making us forget the spiritual meaning of our existence. It meant making us forget our roots and become their brand of get-it-while-you-can materialists. I suspect that Gary Aldrich still doesn't understand these things. Otherwise, he couldn't have stayed with the FBI all those years. Nevertheless, his book is interesting. And if you haven't read it yet, you may find it worthwhile to do so. If you can't find it at your local bookstore, I'll send you a copy. It's $27.95, including shipping. Just send me a check for $27.95 and ask for a copy of Gary Aldrich's book, Unlimited Access. And here's something to think about. The Jews are very smart and very powerful. They have all of the politicians dancing to their tune. They control the news and entertainment media. They have their creature in the White House. But they are losing. They are on the way out. Even their trained attack dogs in the FBI are beginning to turn against them. Not much, not yet, but it's beginning. And there are tens of thousands of us out here who have gone far further than Gary Aldrich has. And there are hundreds of thousands more who are on their way. The Jews and the Clintonistas don't understand that. They can't understand that. But the opposition to them will continue to grow simply because more and more of us on our side of the divide are sensing that their spirit is profoundly alien to ours. Thanks for being with me again today.